Welcome to the Echo Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
I was thinking about us. And I was thinking about the people who would choose to come this morning. And there's no doubt that we love God. There's no doubt that we want to see Him. There's no question of that. It's your choice. Whether you attend, come, it's your choice. Whether you pray, read. I love the fact that God gives us choice in the middle of choices. And this life that we've been called to is one of becoming like Jesus and living like Him, about growing, about putting into practice the things that He has given us according to who we are and the grace that He has given us. And I love watching that in people. I love the growth. I love the development. I love the encounters. I love the moments. I love the testimonies, the breakthrough, the stories, the things that are coming through. We're currently finalizing just our core values as a church and retweaking them and just hearing the testimonies around presence and the testimonies around health and the testimonies around influence. We want to become people of presence and learning how to worship. Learning how to pray. What does it actually mean? What's the Greek word? Because prayer is not just presenting a list to God and running off. Prayer is the word prosyuke, and it's broken up into two words. Pros means face to face, and coming very close. And uke is taken from this old word that's like giving a vow to and presenting oneself to, making an oath. So it's the posture of prayer is actually coming very close and face to face, like Ephesians 2:10. We have faith to approach Him with freedom and confidence, and then we give our lives to Him, and then that's the posture of presenting our requests and submitting supplications and petitions. Because Paul says that in Philippians 4, he goes. Rejoice, and I say again, rejoice. Present your request to God and let the peace of God come and change the way that you think. Let it guard your heart and your mind. So we want to learn how to pray. We want to learn how to commune and communicate. But then we want to learn how to worship, because worship's confronting. Praise is confronting. Worship is the word prosyuke, not prosyuke, prosyuke. And pros, we know, is face-to-face, coming very close. Proskunio. Yeah. Said the same thing twice. Thank you. You've got to call me out. Don't just help me out, guys. Proskunio, which is coming very close but bowing down and kissing towards. Come on. It's intense. So the Lord is inviting us in to learn how to become people of presence, learning how to pray and learning how to worship, learning how to commune, learning how to talk, learning how to hear, and then allowing that to flow out of our life, firstly in our relationship with Him, and then in our relationship with ourselves and how we see ourselves, and then in our relationship with others, becoming people of presence. He's inviting us into becoming people of health, who learn how to understand how we're wired, body, soul, and spirit, that our spirit's perfect and born again and righteous, that we've now become the righteousness of Christ, that the old is gone and the new has come. We're dead to sin and alive to God. And learning how we're wired neurologically, stewarding and looking after our soul, which is our mind, how that we think, our will, our choice amongst choices, our emotions. Woo! Those full list of emotions that bob up when people don't merge properly. Yeah. Or when Or when you set the house temperature to 22 degrees and the other half says it should be set at 17. And you're just thinking, why would you think 17 is an appropriate temperature for a house? And all kinds of things just stir within. It's where we learn to manage our emotions. And when we get to summer, and maybe I am sensitive to heat. But there's a reason we purchase split system air conditioning. To use. Where I think 22 again is a great temperature for the house. But like 29 is apparently great. Where you step inside and it's like, oh, wow, a sauna. And again, managing our emotions. And that's light and fluffy and fun. But you know what you're like at your worst. I know some of you well enough to know what you're like at your worst. She knows what I'm like at my worst. So we're on this journey, becoming people of presence, but becoming people of health. That it's not just about presence. Our spirit's in charge. It's born again. It's perfect. It doesn't get wounded. It's in charge. It's got to be the leader. But we can't just camp in presence because we're a triune being. The Father, Son, and Spirit created man as body, soul, and spirit. So the emotions is important. So our heart and our mind are trying to work out how to help facilitate our born-again spirit. And our born-again spirit is trying to lead the way because the spirit's willing but the flesh is weak. And we're in this tension of intentions of wanting to grow and become and allow the Lord to transform us into the image of Christ, but knowing what we're like in the process. Because we are called also to become people of influence. Like I remember when we were seeing lots of breakthrough and testimonies. I don't know if it was Utah on South Road, someone had a car accident and you guys just ran out and just started helping. Is that happening? Yeah, just wild stuff. Like tens and tens and tens and tens of testimonies happening of just crazy stuff. I remember Michael Warren at the pizza shop getting the word knowledge and going up to the person and encouraging them. Like people getting healed. And in Sue Atkinson, she's not here today, but never approached anyone in her life. And we really believe that every person who's a believer is called to approach people every single day in kindness and power in a normal way because love compels us. Not just for evangelists, not just for sanguines, but for every person. Because confidence isn't a temperament. It comes from being clothed with power. So we want to be people of influence. I remember Sue, she messaged me one day years ago how excited that she approached someone on a bus and encouraged them. People of influence. I remember Jill, we were away in Vanuatu actually. I don't know why Vanuatu gets that one. It did. But we were there and I think it was just me, Jill and Mitch. I crashed the party because I didn't know what we were going to do on the cruise stop. And I just said, oh, there's a resort. Let's go pay $20 and go to the pool. And so I noticed the lady serving us was a bit down. And I said to Jill, hey, you should encourage her. I love throwing people on the bus because I know what she's like. I love like our friend, one of the friends at Bethel gets in a lift with his interns and goes, hey guys, thanks for coming. I'm glad you could be here today. Just a bit of light fun. He goes, but in all seriousness, my two interns here love praying for people and they actually want to pray for anyone who's sick. And they're both standing there going, So I like doing that at times. And I did that with Ash and Jesh one Sunday morning. And I said, hey, Ash and Jesh are going to pray for knees this morning. And there were three testimonies of knees getting healed about a month ago. So God loves that, hey, because you guys want to be people of influence, people of presence, health and influence. And it's not linear. Sometimes it works round and round. Because if we become people of presence, health, and influence, what happens? Heaven comes to earth. Because it's not just about doing the signs and wonders. Because many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, did not I perform miracles and prophesy in your name? And he's like, oh, I actually never knew you. So it is about presence. It's about our up. It is about our up. It's about our out. But it's firstly about our up. But we can't just have up, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and hey, can I pray for your knee? And forget our in and be a mess. So I'd much rather no signs and wonders and a great marriage. I'd rather no miracles. I'd rather no miracles and no porn. Because he values our up, he values our out, but he values our in. And we see this when the disciples said, hey, Jesus, tell us what the greatest commandment is in Matthew 22, 37 to 39. And he's like, okay, there's actually a new commandment, but I'll answer your question. The new commandment's in John 13, 34 to 35. And that's to love people the way that I loved you. But I'll answer your question. All the commandments can be summed up in these two. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So in this, we see love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's our up. And love your neighbor, our out, as you love yourself, our in. We want to grow in becoming people of presence and people of health and people of influence. And I love it that God invented life. The always existing God, the eternal God, who has always been and who always will be, made this up. And he has a method of executing his plan, heart, and will. And that is using people to reach people. And I often think that's an absolute ridiculous idea. Because I know what I'm like at my worst. But I was accepted at my worst. And then given the ability, which is grace, and the operational power of God, the kindness of God that gives me the ability that I didn't have before, to not only influence, but I've been given grace for health. And not only health, but I've been given grace for him and I, because grace and mercy are new every day. So the stumbling over health or the stumbling over influence or the stumbling over just him and I, there is grace. So not only did he make it up and understands that you know what you're like at your worst, but he chose you at your worst to reach people at their worst, he actually empowers you to do so. Because the assignment's impossible, but he's made the assignment possible because of his presence and because of grace. So he sees it all and saw it all when he came up with this idea. And he wasn't taken by surprise by the fall of Adam and Eve and the handing over of their authority. He wasn't taken by surprise. I've got questions. I've got so many questions. When I get there, just great questions to ask. Just, hey, can we have a chat just about a few things? I know you see like bigger and further than me, and you saw before, and you see in the middle, and you see after it all. You're outside of time and space, and my ability to comprehend isn't the same as yours. Even though I do have the mind of Christ, it's different. Can we just have a chat about a few things? Can we talk about the garden and the handing over of authority, and then Jesus coming? And taking the keys back and then giving them to us. So I'm just fascinated by this whole deal that the God of heaven would use people to reach people. People that are hopeless, people that are broken, people that are just despondent with life, without hope, without God, anxious, depressed, stressed, exhausted, not understanding why they're called. They don't understand their reason and purpose for life, that they're just doing the work and the TV and the living for weekends and hoping a holiday will come. That life of just this continual cycle of I'm not sure. And they seem happy. And we can think they're happy because they present themselves as happy. But we know that we were born by God and for God. And God's called us that were that have been rescued out of that, into this life full of grace and love and hope and joy and peace through it all, to then reach those people. But the challenge is that we know the list of what they're like and we know the list of what we're like, but often we feel like the list that they're like. Yeah? And that's not... It's factual, but then there's truth that trumps the facts and we don't deny the process. Are you with me? We don't deny the process of us becoming like Christ. But it's hard because we're reaching these people, but we feel like them in a whole bunch of areas. Well, hang on. I feel stressed. I feel anxious. I feel depressed. I feel worried. I feel anxious. I feel uncertain. I feel doubtful. So that's where we've got to learn, how do we steward what has really happened to us? Because we can't be governed and controlled by emotions and what we feel, even though we can't just stuff them down. Otherwise, it's like beach balls under the water. We're trying to put 5 beach balls under the water at the same time. And then... So we're learning body, soul, and spirit, and we're learning how to become people of presence, health, and influence. But all while understanding and learning that he said, this is how I want you to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not the Lord's prayer. This is the model disciple prayer. Lord's prayer is John 17, not trying to be stirring. But we just label things. It's not the Lord's prayer. He didn't pray it. He said, you pray it. How do we get? We just say stuff and it just takes on things. And 100 years later, yeah, this is true. Oh, yeah, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. No, it's not that. This is your prayer. This is your declaration. Your kingdom come. Our Father. We've got to get Father. Our Father. Who art in heaven, who is in heaven. Hallowed, set apart, the word means. Be your name. Our Father who is in heaven. Set apart, be your name. I'm declaring that you are set apart, that you're high above it all, that you rule and reign, that you are good. I'm declaring the covenant names of God. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah El Roy, the Lord who sees. I'm declaring this about you, our Father. I don't just want to declare this about you. I've got to get Father. I've got to get that. My Father, bear with me. My Father, I'm speaking on your behalf. My Father wasn't around. Didn't lead great. Wasn't a great example of what you're like. So I push Father away and I'm just, you're set apart. No, we've got to get to Father. And that's not easy. That's tough for some people. So it's our Father. That's a journey in itself. Our Father who is in heaven, set apart be your name. And it's in that set apart being your name of presence and learning what he's like, we can confidently step into your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's from becoming people of presence and people of health that we learn what he is like, so that we learn what we've been given the responsibility to release on the earth and become people of influence. But there's a tension of the people that we're meant to be reaching, because often we just feel like them. But the truth is, we've been set apart and something powerful has happened to us. Colossians 2:13 says that you've been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. So we're on this journey. We're navigating it. That God's using people for people. He's using you. He's using me. But we pick stuff up along the way. We pick stuff up. We have moments that hurt us. And last week I was talking about wounds. Just the Lord just revealing a whole bunch of things to me. And we pick up physical wounds, and sometimes they're of no consequence. They're like, and then we get a scar. It's like a battle scar. It's like, oh, this is me trying to, you know, do a backflip off the fence. Split my chin open. Got a scar from it. Epic story. Sweet. Oh, this is when, and we did this. Check out my scar. And the same thing happens with our soul. That our soul can get wounded. And we shared about how Psalm 147:3, it says that, and the Lord's close to the brokenhearted, and he wants to bind up the wounds of those that are afflicted. He empathizes with us in our journey of becoming like him. He became human, and Hebrews 4 says that he fully empathizes with us in our journey of becoming and living out our assignment of heaven to earth. But we get wounded. We get hurt. And the goal is that those wounds become scars. Scars are a really good thing. What are scars? Scars are healed wounds. So the goal is scars. Scars are healed wounds. Often we push down scars. And we talk about scars as a negative, but actually scars are a positive about something that God has done. A scar is a testimony of what God has done. I love that the resurrected Christ kept his scars. I've said this before, I would have polished him up when he came and present himself to the disciples. It says that Thomas was not with the 12, and Jesus appeared in their midst. The doors were locked, but he's Jesus, and he just rocked up in the middle. Boom. Here I am. And Thomas wasn't present, but he's like, I'm not coming unless I touch his scars in his hands and see where the spear pierced his side. And Jesus knew this and kept on doing meetings and greetings. Then a week later, Thomas is there and Jesus confronts him. And he's like, hey, come here. Put your hands in my side and touch my hands and feel the scars. He said, don't believe. And then Thomas says, my Lord and my God. It's something that the Lord wants to do in us as people of Echo Church. Becoming people of presence, health and influence. And he's highlighting this. He's highlighting this area of wounds and scars. It's important. that we address it. Because those emotions and those triggers and those things that pipe up are often just unhealed wounds that haven't actually taken the time to become scars. And the only way that they can become scars is if we allow the Lord to bind up the wounds. It's a really big deal. It's a really big deal. Tash, if you can jump up, that'd be ace. Wow, I haven't used that word for 15 years. Becoming people of presence, becoming people of health, and becoming people of influence. Thanks, Jesus. So I want to read from Isaiah 61. Jesus, one of the first times that he spoke was in the synagogue, and it's in Luke 4, and he's quoting Isaiah when he does that. And I want to read this. Unfortunately, we can't get PowerPoints up today. But I want to read this. You know the first part. Just want to try and land this. And if you didn't hear last week, that'll be important for you to do so, and it'll make sense. I'm not really interested in doing one-off messages as a church. It's really like one of those TV shows that just continues. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Verse 3, and provide for those who grieve in Zion and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And then it moves into verse 4 and it shifts gear. And it says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I just want to highlight something. Jesus came and he didn't share the second part, but he came and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what Jesus said. And although it was true that Jesus was that and is that and came for that, he tagged us and he said, you're it. So now we actually have the authority and the power to be that on the earth. People reaching those people that mourn, that grieve, that have the spirit of despair, that are brokenhearted, that are blind, that are deaf, that their souls crushed, that their spirit's not born again, that are in captives, that have been taken prisoner, that have been in bondage, that we've been called out of that to then be clothed with power to reach people like that. But then the kicker in this verse is, it says in verse 4, it says, and they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. So the cycle is meant to be people reaching people. And then it's those people reaching people. It's the prisoners and the captives and the blind that are then set free that will rebuild the ruined cities. So it's us learning that in our process and in our junk and in our learning how we're wired, body, soul, and spirit, how we navigate life in the kingdom and the power and authority and the keys that we've been given, how do we navigate that in our day-to-day life? This is easy this morning. Easy peasy. I'm not saying you worshiping in the middle of pain in church is easy, but this is a safe place where we can come and gather, and unless you're brand new, relationships are built and developed and trust is received and permission's given and connection happens through intentionality and vulnerability. But the cycle, the plan, the method, the structure that God has put in place for His plan of creating a family, of Him being one with every single person, is people reaching people. And it's them that rebuild the ruined cities. It's them that restore the ancient ruins. This is the design. This is the plan. And this is why it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to become a person of presence. It's worth it. It's not easy. If I said, and this isn't to call people out, but if I said, how consistent is your time with Jesus? Like, I know it's challenging. I know it's tough. It's the most attacked thing on the planet. Because something happens when we know we want to spend time with Jesus. It feels more entertaining to watch an NBA game. Because we appropriate our sense of feeling good with doing things. And if we haven't developed habits, then we're just, even our God time is dictated by how we feel. But I want to become a person of presence. I want to grow in that. I can't actually change if I don't spend time with Him. I can't appropriate the full list of stamped yes promises that are mine unless I actually spend time with Him. I don't know what He's like unless I spend time with Him. I don't know what I can pray. I don't know what's. I don't know if I'm able to pray for a sick person if I don't know that He's the healer. I'm not going to do that if I don't know that He's given me the authority to heal. And becoming people of health, tough. Because we think, often we get sucked into He's treating me how according to what I do. It's not the case. He treats you according to who you are. But we avoid time with Him because we know what we're like at our worst, and we live with our time with Him according to how we think we are and consequently the way that we think He sees us. So we go, no, you wouldn't want to speak to me or say anything because I looked at porn during the week. It's just not true. Now, He's very much in the mindset of go and sin no more, like He said to the woman in John 8. But He deeply cares about you more than your sin. He doesn't condone it or allow it or want it because He knows it separates. It doesn't separate. You create distance when you sin. Because Romans says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. But we create the separation when we believe the lie that He's treating us according to what we're not. So it's worth the journey of being vulnerable and growing in connection and becoming a person of health. It's not easy, and we haven't always been taught it. And we can swing too far. We want to be people of presence, health, and influence. And when we do, heaven's going to come to earth in greater ways. It's happening right now. But the momentum and the confidence and you watch what the Lord's going to do through you. When you own it for yourself and not just allow it to be a corporate thing. Let's stand to our feet. Thanks, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the journey that you have us all on. Individually and together. Singles and family. You see the individual and you see the gathering. Yeah. Jehovah El Roy, the God who sees. Yeah, you see it all, the navigating, the journey, the process. You boldly proclaim who we are. You boldly proclaim who we are. Righteous, justified, redeemed, saved, made whole, full of power, full of authority, keys being handed to us, full access, Spirit given without measure, full of grace, hope being poured out into our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts all available, fruits and gifts working side by side, encounters, experiences that come out of knowing your word. My sheep hear my voice, so we know his voice, but it's not easy, so we'd learn how he speaks. So I thank you, God, for the bold declarations of truth that you see us carrying. But you know that that is worked out through bodies and souls. And you're quite okay with it because it was your design. And I thank you, Jesus, that you modeled what a human can live like. That you came to reveal and put on display what a person in right relationship with the Father can live like. You limited your deity and divinity. And took the nature of a servant who needed to be anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. One of the great mysteries, fully God, but fully man, that needed to be anointed because he laid down his divinity on earth to reveal what we could live like and to become the sacrifice so that we could. So Jesus, we acknowledge the tension of its people in process reaching people. And our process does not disqualify us. Paul actually says that the weakness actually becomes a portal for God's power. It's only in the weakness and acknowledging the weakness that we are made strong and his power is perfected in weakness. It's why Jesus kept the scars, because he celebrates humanity. And there's power released when we acknowledge that it's God's grace and not us. So Jesus, keep working in us. Keep working in us. We want to be people that know how to pray and worship. We want to be people that know how to walk in signs and wonders daily. But what's holding it all together is the outworking of it through our heart, our mind, and our emotions. So I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you for courage to dig in, to lean in. Yeah, in Jesus' name.